Now I got to figure out where my Bible's at. That isn't it? No, it is. Thank you. Senior moment. Oh, man. Let's see. I think I go to Ephesians chapter 2. Last couple of weeks, for some reason, I get my outline together for Sunday morning. I get my outline together for Sunday night at different times of the week, and I get them there. And sometimes on Sunday morning when I'm looking at everything, I think, man, I'm going to preach the other message that I was going to do on Sunday night. And I really couldn't decide today. I had two of them, and I thought, well, one time I thought I'd do the night one, the morning, and what I thought was going to be the night one. Anyway, this is where I got down to. If you don't like this one, come back tonight. Maybe you'll like that one better. You know, we'll see how it goes, but that's the way I felt like I was led to get to today. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, hey, listen, if you're following along in your Bibles, I'm going to give you a little parenthesis every now and then. I'm going to give you a definition of a couple things just so you can keep it straight in your head if you don't already have it straight in your head. So if you hear me throw something in there, it's just to clear up what I'm saying, and it might help you along the way. If it doesn't help you, it'll confuse you more than you may already be. It says in the Bible, in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, which is the Jews, in the flesh made by hands. So that verse is saying there, okay, you Gentiles, you were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. Just fill in the blank with the Jews. You were called that by the Jews. Circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Gentiles were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles, who were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Jews and Gentiles, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, Jews and Gentiles, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that's Jesus, and twain, Jews and Gentiles, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, Jews and Gentiles, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, Gentiles, which were afar off, and to them, Jews, that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, church, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together, Jews and Gentiles, church, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Heavenly Father, again, come to you this morning. Thank you that we can preach. Thank you for your word. Again, ask for your Spirit to move upon us today. You know every need. I pray you comfort hearts. I pray you speak to hearts. If there's one here that's lost, we pray today for their salvation. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is A Message of Reconciliation. The Ephesian church was mostly Gentiles. They were mostly a Gentile church. Which was, you know, probably early in the early on, most of the churches were probably Jewish churches, but this one wasn't. And the Gentiles in that day, they knew about God's plan somewhat with the Jews. Since Abraham, God had made a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. God had called the Jews to be a separated people. They were designed to be a blessing to the other nations through that separation. The basic thought was this, that God was going to reveal himself to the rest of the world through the Jewish nation. They were to be separated people. We got the parallel to the church is we got the same wording in the New Testament to the church, that we're to be a holy people, a separated people, and to be a blessing to the world by sharing Jesus Christ. Well, the Jews had this. Christ hadn't come yet, but they were to be the way to God. And that was the way to God. You know, if you wanted to really get to God, you had to go, you had to be a proselyte Jew. You had to go through Judaism, get through the animal sacrifices and all that. But unfortunately, along the way, the Jews kept the difference nationally and ritually, but not morally. They became like the nations that they lived around. They started becoming like them. And we know their underlying sin, they struggled, and it just blows my mind, they struggled with idolatry throughout their history, always serving other gods and false gods and things. They got wrapped up in that with the other nations. And of course, then God disciplined them for it too, several times, several times. And it says, but then in verse 13, it said, but now in Christ Jesus, something's going to happen. The great work, or one of the great works of Jesus Christ by the shedding of his blood on the cross, is seen. And we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. The very first thing is that I want to talk about is separation. Point number one, separation. Separated from God. Start off separated from God. You know what happened when Adam and Eve sinned and they were separated spiritually and morally from God? And they did it themselves. I mean, they made a choice. And, you know, why are things the way they are? You know, don't we wish? I mean, on the one hand, we don't wish this. You know, God could have made everybody like a robot, and God could have made us worship him, and God could have made us just do right. He could have done all that. But he gave us a choice, you know. And so what happened to Adam and Eve? You know, he told them what they could do, and they could do a lot. There was only one thing they couldn't do. One thing. Huh? Isn't that just like us? The one thing you can't do, you just bugs you to death, right? And they couldn't eat the forbidden fruit, and they did that. And what happened was when they sinned, of course, sin, you know, they became sinners. Sin, there was a moral separation. There was a spiritual separation from God. But they hid from God. Man, look at the world we're living in today. Man, people running from God, don't want to talk about it, don't want to see anybody with the Bible, don't want to hear any preaching, talk to you about anything under the sun. Football, deer hunting, whatever, you know. Talk about it, but you start talking to them about the Lord. Oh, man. Isn't that odd? I know we know Satan's involved. We know Satan is allowed. But what it is, it's man. Because why did Adam and Eve hide from God? Because they knew they had sin. Why do most folks avoid the church or preaching or the Bible like the plague? Because they know they're sinners. Man, and there's something in their head that just says, you know what? What I'm doing's not right. What I'm doing's not right. And so like an ostrich, if I stick my head in the sand, nothing's going to happen. How many of you do stuff like this? How many of you with problems, the way you deal with them is not deal with them? Anybody do that? You know, the way to deal with your problem, just don't deal with it. That's what people do. They know they're sinners. They know it. Huh? And they know that God, and they run from God because they know way down inside that God requires something different, that there's going to be repentance involved. You don't even have to preach repentance. They just already know. They just already know. And they just feel like, man, I'm going to have to get rid of something. They know that. And so they run from God. So they hid from God. And sin does that. It still does it to this day. People run from God, they hide from God. And now the sin nature from Adam and Eve, y'all know this, was passed down through the first man and wife. And before long, guess what? There was a separation. It wasn't too long later, they had two children, Cain and Abel came along. And guess what? They got separated. Man, there was a contention that rose up between them. There wasn't no such thing as contention before sin entered in the world. There was no contention. There wasn't nobody having no arguments about nothing. Adam and Eve wasn't having them husband and wife little spats that they get into, you know, which side of the bed you're going to sleep on and all that stuff. They didn't have that. Didn't exist. Arguments. Imagine this. Arguments didn't exist. What are we going to talk about? No. Arguments. None of those things existed. There was no contention. Huh? And what happened was, next thing you know, Cain and Abel, they get into, Cain wasn't happy with Abel because Abel's sacrifice. Pride. Here it was. Pride. Jealousy, hate, and it led to murder. Never existed before sin entered. Before sin entered, Cain would have offered the proper sacrifice unto God. But after sin entered, he didn't want to do it God's way. See, rebellion. That's another thing that entered in rebellion. Didn't want to do it God's way. It all entered in, all because of sin. And so then what happened was, so we had a separation. We had two brothers. Grew up together, time as little boys. Grew up, played. I'm just speculating. Played and everything was hunky-dory. Probably never had an argument over whose toy was whose. Next thing you know, man, Cain slew his brother Abel, killed him. First murder in the Bible. Killed him. Killed his brother. And so sin causes a division. This is what happens. Look at world history. We got, you name it. Man, I mean, all the other, you know, hate and envy, pride, jealousy, lust, and violence, contention, and the earth's full of it. Man, we've got people that are hating each other, brothers and sisters hating each other. We got nations hating each other. We got husbands and wives getting into feuds and fights. There's a separation between man and God. We got all that, all because sin entered into the world, and then we took the sin nature. And people are born, and then it says, and it went on to say that, without Christ. It said in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. And, you know, and then I uses the term also without God, which in verse 12, at the bottom part of verse 12, so without God, which we know Christ is God. So the same thing. Every unsaved person today, Jew or Gentile, doesn't make any difference, is without God, without Christ. Every person that's not saved doesn't have God. Without God. You know, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel too, they knew the one true God. They knew him. They knew who he was. I mean, there wasn't any other choice. Before sin entered the world, I don't believe there was never a man that had an idea of making an idol or making another god to worship. No, they had the one true God. And part of that blows my mind too when I think about the nation of Israel. Maybe I'll say something about it in a second. But what happens when you like here? You know, the truth is the truth. If we've got the truth here, in any way, shape, or form, no matter what it is, it could be the truth about anything. If we reject that, the only thing left is a lie. You know, the opposite of truth. All you got left is lies. Well, you could be half truth, but half truth could be half wrong. It's all wrong if it's half wrong. And so, when we reject the truth about God, what does man do? We got the capacity to worship God. We got it in our mind. We got it. We have a desire to worship God. Romans chapter 1 kind of defines it all, what happened with man right there. 1 chapter, verse 18, I'll read it to you. It said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they think the unrighteousness is true. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, in their mind, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and here it is, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So that means what? So man said, well, I'm going to reject the one true God, but I got to have a God, so I'm going to make a God, right? I'm going to make a God, and I'm going to make it like what? Well, what could you make God? The concept of your mind, how would you make God, you know, a God? So they worship creation, you know. Made gods out of either animals, planets, moon, stars, you know, all the whole nine things. And so they made their own God physically. In Paul's day, they said that in Athens it was easier to find a god than it was a man. They had a multitude of gods, false gods. They were everywhere. The god to this, the god to that, the god. You know why they made all those gods? Because the god didn't satisfy them. You know, I can see it now. I'll just use my imagination while I was sitting there thinking about this. You know, you get that new God. What'd you get for Christmas? Oh, I got a new God. And I got this little idol, you know, really neat, maybe made out of silver or something, or gold if you had a lot of money or something. And it had like little stones in it, and it looked really neat. And they set it up on the shelf in the house. And ooh, look at that. boy, that's really neat. And boy, you know, they dusted it all off and everything, had a couple candles burning there on the side of it. And every day they'd go in there and say something to that God. And you know how something is when it's new? Oh, it's, you know, everything's shiny. Everybody, oh yeah, people come on over and look at my new God. And everybody came over and looked at the new God. And then after a while, but guess what? That old God there didn't do nothing for him. Huh? Still had the same problems. Still got sick. People still died. Nothing was taken care of. Still the stress and strain of living with humanity. And guess what? After a while, didn't light the candles. Didn't dust it off. And it become old hat. You know what? I just got to make me a new God. I'm going to make me a new God, and I'm going to make it look different. I'm going to say, oh, look, and you know how your heart, like you do, we do it the same way. You get that new car. Oh, boy, it's all shiny and everything. Put it out there where you can see it. Look, a little gnat on there. Ooh, got to get that gnat on. And when you get rid of it, man, that thing ain't been washed in 16 months, huh? You know, one tire half flat, ain't changed the oil in 3 years. You know, you don't care nothing about it, man, because it's all old. And so what they did, they get the new God, and so then after a while, the same routine. That one gets, next thing you know, dusty, no candles burning, let's get another one. Man, they got gods everywhere. And all the gods in the world wouldn't mount up to the one true God. It just wouldn't. In Moses' day, look how long it took. Moses up on Mount Sinai, talking face to face with God, getting the Ten Commandments up there, thunder, lightning. Matter of fact, the people didn't even want to go near the mountain. They said, look up there, man, it's thunder and lightning up there. Moses, you go talk to God, we'll wait down here. They know he's up there talking to God. God! I mean, God had led them, man. I mean, God had provided for them. They knew the one true God. And they're up there, and they had no time. Hey, Moses, I don't know, something happened to him. We need to make another God. Why do you need to make another God? You got the God. Listen, everybody give me your earrings. Not a bad idea, man. Gave him the earrings. Made a golden calf. We're going to worship a golden calf. A calf. A cow. We're going to worship that. That's going to be the God. Didn't even, you think it takes generations to fall into this deal? Uh-uh. While Moses on Mount Sinai talking to the one true God. They make a golden calf because it's down in there. Listen, man didn't start with a bunch of false gods and then whittle everything down to where, oh, hey, we found the one true God. Just read over there in Romans. Romans proved that. They started with the one true God. Adam and Eve knew the one true God. They didn't have no idea about no idol worship. They started with the one true God. And then man rejected that one true God and started making gods of his own. And that's the only thing that man can do. Listen, we think, well, preacher, man, I never had nothing like Buddha or anything sitting on the counter that I worship. Might have had a Buddha, but we didn't worship it. Sometime I think they were in style there for a while. You could get one at, Pier 1 Imports. Get you a Buddha to set up there, right? It's not different. So man makes God to be like, you know, something in his mind. I mean, if you made a God, you had to have some concept of God. And he rejects his word. And so what time, we don't make the idols the same way, but we make, one of the things that people do today, and I'm from talking to people out in public, you find out this, well, you know, I believe in God, but, and they start describing the God they believe in. Some of it's taken partly from the Word of God, some concept of God from something they've heard, but it's a whole lot of added up stuff. Well, I don't like that. I don't believe in hell. I'm going to reject that. You know, cut that off. I don't believe in judgment, or I believe in purgatory. There's something that probably came out of that. We can't believe hell lasts forever, right? That's what they would say. So what happens is man starts making up a God in his head. It's not an idol, but it's a God in his mind that he wants to worship that God. Oh, I'm going to worship this way, that way, all these other things. They have these ideas about that. Or then, without even saying it, we worship things like money, power, position, things we can buy, hobbies, sports, relationships. It could be vices, sex, drugs, alcohol, which all boils down to this one thing. You know who you're worshiping right there? Self. No, you're worshiping yourself. No, you put self way above Satan. You worship yourself. You do what you want to do. Huh? You're going to satisfy yourself. I know what the Word of God says, but I, and fill in the blank, but I, see, I, we're going to worship ourselves. And so that's what happens. And so then the result of that is emptiness. and hopelessness. See, it said in verse 12, look what happened. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Hopelessness. Listen, when man's attempts to live apart from God fail, and they will, man finds himself without hope. They say in Paul's day that there was a great cloud of hopelessness over all the earth. I mean, everywhere. There was philosophies. There was a lot of philosophers, and they wanted, you never get around somebody that's a philosopher. You know, they want to philosophize about life, you know, apart from God. Well, guess what? It's all empty. It's all empty. After a while, philosophy doesn't come true. They had false religions, and those false religions didn't help men face life or death. So there was this separation that existed. We know, and you guys mostly know this, you know, sin separated us from God. But also sin separates us from each other, from man. That's why we have nations. That's why we have wars. That's why we have problems. Human relationship problems is separation. But then in verse 14, we see reconciliation, the second point. For he, Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, that specifically spoke to the Jews, or spoke to the temple. That, you know, in Jesus' day, when there was that separation, the separated people, and remember, everything was hinging. We were going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, so there was a transition time. Jews were having a hard time with this. But under Judaism, if a Gentile became a proselyte, he said, all right, I want to find God. And there was ones that did. I want to come to God, and I want to go into Judaism, but I'm a Gentile by birth, I'm a Gentile by birth. They said, yeah, you can do it, but we got this little court for you. We got your area. There was a wall there, a partition wall that was called the court of the Gentiles. Matter of fact, in Jesus' day, you remember when the money changers, when Jesus went in and threw the money changers out? Well, that's where it was, because they had set up their business inside the court of the Gentiles. Didn't care if the Gentiles could worship God. Didn't care if the Gentiles could have it was like a marketplace. You can hear them now hollering out prices, a bunch of animals in there neighing and braying and whatever they do, and trying to have all that going on, and people was making money, man. There was a lot of yapping, and a Gentile couldn't even go into the court of the Gentiles and worship God, and that's why Jesus threw them out. Well, that's where it was. They had this wall of partition that was there, and then also there was a veil of separation. There was a veil of separation at the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could enter into the presence of God. And so we had this. So what happened? There was a separation that existed there too. Why? Because God can't look upon sin. High priest had to go through a big ordeal to make sure his sin was under the blood. He had to wash. He had to put on the right clothes. He had to look right, act like, smell right, talk right. And he had to have sacrificed the right amount of, and he better have confessed all the sins in his life. That'd have you thinking really hard, wouldn't it? And so he had to have that straightened out. And he went into the Holy of Holies for you and me. But when Jesus died on the cross, man, the veil was rent from top to bottom, which means God did it. And also there was an earthquake, and that wall of partition between the court of the Jews and Gentiles, that fell down too. So what happened was all those things that separated God and man and man, was taken away physically and symbolically or spiritually by Jesus Christ himself. And God reconciled men to himself through Jesus Christ, and he also reconciled the Jews and Gentiles at that particular time there. Now, it took a little while for him to get used to that, into one body, into that one nation we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. The word reconcile means to bring together again. See, man and God at one time had been together in separation, and man had not known separation either. And so, like I said, sin has caused a lot of separations. Man and God, husbands and wives, brother and brother, sister and sister, brother and sister, nation and nation, even friend and friend. All separation is a result of sin somewhere along the way. But I will say this, that when our relationship with God is incorrect, and our relationship with man will be incorrect also. And that's what we see in the world that we live in today. That's the problem that we see. And it's vice versa. If your relationship with man is incorrect, your relationship with God is going to be incorrect as well. Why? Because Jesus is a reconciler. I mean, Jesus brings everybody together. There was a man who went to his pastor and he said that he and his wife needed recancellation. And what he really meant was, he wanted to say reconciliation, but he said recancellation. But in a way, he was right, because there couldn't be any reconciliation with until there is a cancellation of sins. That's the whole problem even with man and God. See, there couldn't be reconciliation back with God until there was a cancellation of our sins, is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. In human relationships, it's the same way. You ever get somebody really aggravated? You ever had a really strained relationship with somebody? Everybody's husbands and wives are all looking at each other. And you know what? If you ever notice, it never gets better until somebody says, "I'm sorry." You ever notice that? It just don't go away. Cold, man, it can be. And so what happened? In other words, somebody got to do some forgiving, right? Somebody's got to forgive. Well, they were wrong. They're the ones that need to come. It doesn't say that. Listen, the whole deal with Jesus dying for our sins, he'd have never died for our sins. He said, "Well, y'all were wrong. Why should I die for your sins? Why should I forgive you? You were wrong." Matter of fact, if ain't nobody wrong, there ain't no need for forgiveness, right? If nobody's wrong. Hey, well, I'm going to forgive you as long as you don't do nothing that don't need forgiving. That's a good one. I'll forgive you as long as you don't do nothing that needs forgiveness for. Huh? Right? No, when do you need forgiveness? When you're wrong. Somebody did something wrong. Recancellation. Jesus just canceled it out. God, he never said we wasn't guilty. No, he said we were. We were guilty. We are guilty. But Jesus said, hey, listen. And God said, God the Father, see if you look at it that way, if you want to separate it that way. God the Father said, hey, there was a cancellation of your sin debt. Somebody paid it. I'd like to go down. How'd you like to go down one day down to get ready to pay your bills? And somebody said, don't worry about it. Somebody done took care of it. How'd you like to have that of everything? Now our sin debt. And so God took care of that. Listen, all these things, there could be no reconciliation until there was a cancellation. With Jesus Christ, he canceled our sin debt. Listen, in personal relationships, what are you going to do with it? I remember one time I got this guy, he was mad at me. You know how we ragging on each other. We was ragging, this was when I was in the Navy. We were ragging on each other about motorcycles. And this boy had a Honda 750. And I cut him up, man. I was ragging. And there ain't nothing wrong with a Honda 750 if you got one. And but you know how you do. You know how guys do. You get around into ragging on people about stuff. He got madder and all. I didn't know he got so mad. Oh, he was steaming, man. I wasn't paying attention. And I said Stoner was his name. He said, Stoner, man, he's mad at you, man. So, you know, I went to the guy, and I apologized. I said, hey, man, listen, man, I apologize. Oh, he went off. And I said, well, look, you were doing the same thing. He was ragging on Harley Davidsons, you know. And I said, you were doing the same thing. But he didn't see that. I said, you did the same thing. And I just said, you know, I didn't mean to offend you. I apologize. But he wouldn't forgive me. He wouldn't. And some of the other guys that was in the Navy on the ship, they said, well, man, what you did was wrong. What you did was wrong. And one guy, Casey, we were real good friends. And I said to Casey, you're right. I apologize. What do you want? And I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I said, what do you want, blood? I said, what do you want me to do? Cut my throat? Is that going to make, what do you want me to do? Okay, I was wrong. And I told Stoner, I said, man, you're going to carry that with you the rest of your life to your grave? You're going to hate my guts for the rest of your life? To the grave? He didn't say too much. And later on down the road, he struggled there, but everything we got done and we forgot, and we used to go out, we went double dating and stuff and rode around. We had these little itty bitty cars. We used to race them up and down Jacksonville, Florida. Paul, you didn't hear that. We race them up and down the highway, man. He said, man, I didn't know them little cars would go that fast. I said, yeah, man, we'd go down there and ride all around. So we got to be friends, but good night, man. He just couldn't get past, you know, and I'd ask for forgiveness. But he wouldn't, He didn't want to, and why? Pride. Because, see, there was sin there. Now, I didn't know what I know now, and I couldn't go on that. Well, look, man, you're sinning. You got pride. That's a sin, right? Plus, he picked on Harley Davidsons. You know that's a sin. Huh? You know that's a sin, right? Huh? And he did the same thing I was doing, but a lot of times we can't see our faults. We can only see theirs. But there had to be a cancellation. We just had to forget about it. There's nothing I couldn't undo what I said, right? I can't undo it. So what do you want? You either going to have to forgive me, or you going to have to carry that burden the rest of your life. Huh? Carry that burden instead of bring it down here and drop it at the feet of Jesus, right? That was it. And so, of course, Jesus Christ does. He cancels our sin. And, you know, man made all kind of laws trying to fix man's problem. You know, in my lifetime, the racial issue, we came, not that it doesn't exist today, but, man, you should have been around in the 60s. You think it's something now. So we had anti-discrimination laws. Guess what? They didn't work. It didn't work. Why? Because it didn't deal with anybody's heart. It's just a law. You can't discriminate against, you know, and we got them for all. It's not just racial. We got them now with the women, you know. We can't discriminate against women. We can't discriminate against somebody with another race or what we call another race. We can't discriminate, not supposed to, religiously, although if there is any discrimination, it's against the Christians today. They don't mind that one right there. But what happened? It didn't work because God had to change the heart, see. That was the deal. That had to be this change that took place on the inside. And so then, you know what happens if it happens? You know what? If God changed the heart of everybody in the world, and he can, there would be no need for a discrimination law, anti-discrimination law. Mm-mm. No. It wouldn't exist. What are you talking about? They would never understand it. They would not understand it because it wouldn't be in their heart. And so we see that one of the great works that Jesus Christ did on the cross, he took care of the separation problem, and then he, by adding or giving us the reconciliation answer to the separation problem. And then there was, the third thing was unification, which is a whole lot like reconciliation or goes along with it. And the key word is one. Look what it said in verse 14. It said, for he is our peace who hath made both one. We see that. That's unification. In verse 15, he goes on to make of twain one new man there at the bottom of the verse. In verse 16, he might reconcile both unto God in one body. That'd be the church, by the way. And then in verse 18, he said, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. So the key of the rest of the verse is one. All the distance, that separation of man and God, And all the separation or the division, let me say it that way, all distance and all division, separation between two groups of people, and you can fill in the blank, have been overcome by Jesus Christ. All those things taken care of. And we see one nation. We were talking about that this morning. That one nation that he's talking about right there in Ephesians chapter 2, that's the church. It's a nation, a holy nation. He called us to be a holy nation, no longer Jews and Gentiles, a chosen generation. A holy nation, God used us of the church. He even called us to be a peculiar people. I said, boy, you got that right. Ain't no more peculiar than this group right here, right? What he meant peculiar there means different, which, I, you know, just different, to be different, different than the world. He called us to do that. One family, God's family, brothers and sisters. When I first got saved and I went to a little independent Baptist church up in Amosville, Virginia, everybody called everybody brother and sister. Brother and sister Boone, brother, or they might use your first name because they didn't for some reason with me and Sherry for some reason, but they did, you know, brother and sister Terry. Dwayne Dillard's church does that. You ever been around Dwayne? He always say, yeah, sister, you know, he always said. That's how that came about. One family, one temple. In Genesis, God walked with his people, Adam and Eve. In Exodus, God dwelt with his people, and he dwelt in, they had the tabernacle in Exodus. In 1 Samuel, God dwelt in the temple, Holy of Holies, but sin caused God's glory to depart. And now God dwells in his people. and in their hearts. God's dwelling in the hearts of those that trust Him. There's a doctrine out there. There's some people that the ultra dispensationalists believe that there was a Jewish church and there was a Gentile church and that there was different doctrines for those two churches. The Bible doesn't teach that nowhere. There was just one church and the same doctrine for both. There was a few things where the whole church changed just a little bit as things moved forward, but not two separate things. There was just one body, one church, one nation, one peculiar people. God puts us together because He's in the reconciliation and unification process. You know, I was preaching, Paul said, Wednesday night I preached on the valley of dry bones, man, them old dead bones in that valley, right? And it said that he prophesied unto the bones, preached, and the flesh and the sinews and all that came up on them, but they didn't stand up. Why? Because there still wasn't no life in them. And I was preaching on how that pictures a lot in the church today. There's people in the church today, see, they're laying in here, they're in here, they got the sinews on them, they got the muscles on them, they got all that right there, but they had no spiritual life in there because God hadn't breathed in them, and when He did breathe in them, it said they stood an exceeding great army. See, God breathed, and so what happened was everything was brought together by the breath of God, or which would represent the Spirit of God. That was God's purpose accomplished right there. Without Christ, listen, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're spiritually dead. Amen. That's it. Separated from God by sin. We mentioned Brianna got saved on Monday night. I preached, you know, she hears me preach every week. Every week. And we got down there and the thing, and I preached on Ezekiel and about the Valley of Dry Bones, and I preached on that. And I was talking about the relationship with God. And, you know, we got done, and a few people came down the altar and that. I don't think they go a lot down there, but some of them came down there. And we got done. And see, Brianna was standing a couple of seats back with Danielle sitting there, and I was standing there talking to somebody. And I look back there at Brianna, and, you know, she's real light-complected, and her face is red as a beet, and she's crying. I didn't know you was in here. I see you. She was crying. And I look at Danielle, and she's crying. And Danielle looks at me, and she mouths, she said, she wants to talk to you. And I'm going to tell you what my first thought, this is honest, what has she done? I mean, man, I was like, uh-oh. I was keyed up. I said, oh, no, Brianna, what have you done now? Man, you're bawling. You want to talk to me? Danielle's crying. I said, oh, you know. And so we go, and we came down there, and I'm going to tell you, and I couldn't understand her. She was all crying. She's trying to tell me something. This is what she said. She goes, you know what? I believe in Jesus. And she had made a profession when she was younger. She said, I believe in Jesus, but she said just one thing. She said, I don't think I have a personal relationship with Him. I don't have a personal relationship. And I thought, wow, man. And I told her, I said, well, listen, if God's speaking to you about that now, because Satan, listen, I tell people this all the time. You know, I got to thinking about it. When you doubt your salvation, now I know your flesh can cause you to doubt your salvation. Always happens when you get into sin, if you're saved. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe Satan most of the time. I'm not going to say never. But why would Satan cause you to doubt your salvation if you're not saved? If you are saved, he could cause you. Now, everybody that's not saved and they think they're doubting it, they're going to think, well, see, you must be Satan. Listen, Satan would never cause you to doubt your salvation because he don't want you to get saved. He's going to tell you everything's okay. Satan's the one that's telling you when you're out there dabbling in sin, when you're out there running around flirting with the world, that everything's all right. Don't worry about it. Everybody else is doing it because, you know, you went down to the altar at that church and you got baptized in the creek and you joined the church. Everything's all right. Satan's the one that's telling you that, not God. Huh? So why would Satan say, hey, listen, you know what? I don't think you're saved. You better go down there and get saved. No. Uh-uh. And I told Brianna, I said, listen, if you don't think you have a relationship with Christ and you're in here, the devil's not telling you that. I said, that's God speaking to you. I said, why don't we get down here and get some, huh? But that took a lot for somebody that young to think about and been in church and how hard it is for somebody that's been in church all those years. Made a profession when you were like six, right? Something like that. You 13 now? Boy, I'm doing good. Hey, I'm doing good. I feel proud. I remember my granddaughter's birthday. How old she is. Birthday, that's another story. But that's all that time. And think, you know what? I just don't think I have a personal relationship with Christ. Because something's not right. You know, something's not there. And boy, we got down there and we prayed, man. I don't think you stopped crying the rest of the time, did you, huh? All the way home, probably. Huh? She was excited about that. Man, what a blessing that was. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? I'm not asking you if you believe. I quit asking that. I'm not asking you if you're saved. Everybody in Bodotai County is saved. What about your relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Christ? How's your relationship with fellow man? How's that doing? I'm going to tell you what, if that's out of order, your relationship with Christ is out of order or non-existent. No spirit of, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have a spirit of reconciliation, you don't have Christ. Mm-mm. No way. Are you helping others to trust Him? Are you walking in the newness of life? Huh? That exceeding great, exceeding army in Ezekiel, their exceedingly great army, God breathed on them bones. Whoo! Is that what we see? Is that you? You standing up, a warrior for Christ, a soldier with the newness of life and the breath of life in your bones and your soul? Is that you? Listen, God has given us a message of reconciliation. I'm going to tell you what, but you got to experience yourself before you can share it with somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand, head bowed. Paul's going to come have an invitation. You think about this. Man, I guess you can narrow it down to this question. Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And then you'd have to define that. What's a relationship with anybody? You know, I know people from years ago that I know them, and they know me. But you know what? I don't have a relationship with them because, you know why? Because I don't talk to them every day, and they don't talk to me. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're not having a problem. That's not the reason why. It's just distance, time, things like that. And there's a lot of people that don't talk to God now that I think about it for the same reason. Spiritually separated, there's distance, and their time is more important to them than their time with God. Then you don't have a relationship with Jesus either. If that's your need today, you can be saved as well.
Thank you, Pastor.
I have a invitation to 10:327, Higher Ground, 10:327.
Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm praying as I'm onward bound.
the coin folders out there for the Lighthouse Children's Home. I think they're under the clock. We got play practice at 5.